Okay, today's daf Shabbat daf Kuf Nun Dalad. We're at the bottom of Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Bet. I'm Rabbi Bar Chama. I'm a Chamer Achar Behematob Shabbat. Veshogi Chayev Chatad. Bemezid Chayev Skila. Someone who drives his donkey on Shabbat, if he does it unintentionally, he's liable to a sin offering. But if he does it intentionally, he's Chayev Skila. He gets a stoning. My time. What's the reason? I'm a Rabbi Damar Kralu. That's a Komalachatav Behemtecha. Behemato Dumiadi Day. Mahu Beshogi Chayev Chatad Bemezid Chayev Skila. Behemato Nami Beshogi Chayev Chatad Bemezid Chayev Skila. Right. So why are we Bechayev? Well, you look at the pasuk. It says that you can't do any malacha. You or your animal. So your animal is similar to you. Just like if you do it intentionally, your chayev skila, and if you do it unintentionally, your chayev chatat. So if you do it through your animal, your chayev unintentionally chatat, and intentionally your chayev skila. I'm a Rav Shtei B'Shu B'Davar Chara. So Rav says, I have two responses to that. Chara dichtiv Torah chad yelachem l'aseh b'shkagava nefesh asher taseh b'yad ramah. Huk shakol Torah kul avur dazar ma'avur dazar da'avid ma'aseh b'gufe. Achen amyad da'avid ma'aseh b'gufe. He says, first of all, the Torah says, Torah achat yelachem l'nefesh aseh b'shkaga. Right? So that the, that anyone who is chayev achatat, anyone who does something b'shogeg is chayev chatat, and that pasuk is hukash, meaning is halachically connected to the pasuk of avodah zara. Now, why is there a halachic connection, a textual connection between the two pasukim, to tell you that just like avodah zara, you're only chayev if you do it by yourself, begufe, you do it with your own body, not through someone else. So too, all things, you're only chayev if you do it with your own body, not through something else. So you wouldn't be chayev for doing it through your animal. Ve'otnan. And furthermore, another reason why you wouldn't be chayev for mechamer, hamechal shabbat bedavar shechayevin al shkagato chatad v'alzdon of skila, right? That someone who violates Shabbat in a matter that is chayav a chatat b'shogeg and is chayav skila if you do it intentionally. But from the fact that you said that if you do a Shabbat violation, what type of Shabbat violation? Oh, the type that you be chayav b'shogeg a chatat b'mezid a skila. That means there is a type of Shabbat violation that you're not chayav b'shogeg chatat and b'mezid skila. My nihu, what is that violation that you're not chayev in the normal way? Lav d'mchamer. Isn't it mchamer? Is it driving your animal, which you're doing it through an animal, and that's why it's not the classic? Lo, tchumin v'alibidur b'yakiva v'avara libidur yosi. No, the thing that's usher, that you're not chayev chatat b'shogeg and skila b'mezid, according to Rabbi Akiva, is tchumin, right, the area of Shabbat that you're not allowed to leave. The on Shabbat you have a set area you can't walk out of. According to Rabbi Akiva, that is deoraita, but you're not going to be chayev skila. Or according to Rabbi Yossi, havara, kindling a flame, according to Rabbi Yossi, is not chayev skila. Rav Zavid, matni hachi, amar Rabbi Bar Chama, mechamer achar behema b'shabbat, b'shogeg eno chayev chatad, b'mezid chayev skila. Rav Zavid actually holds as follows. He says, someone who drives drives his donkey on Shabbat, if you do that unintentionally, you're not even chayev achatat. But if you do it intentionally, you are chayev skila, right? So it's two extremes. You're not chayev anything for unintentional, but you're chayev skila if you do it intentionally. Matif Rava, but Rava challenges that. Hamechal Shabbat, but davar shechayevin al shkagato chatat, chayevin al zdonos skila. Ha'ein chayevin al shkagato chatat, ein chayevin al zdonos skila. So Rava points out the following, right? That we taught that someone who breaks Shabbat in a matter that you're chayev unintentionally a chatat, you would be chayev intentionally, you would be chayev skila, right? But that would imply, I mean, you infer from that statement that if you're not chayev unintentionally a chatat, then you shouldn't be chayev intentionally skila, right? So Rav Zvid's example kind of breaks that rule where he says, here, you're not chayev shogeg a chatat, but you are chayev mezid skila. That doesn't follow the rule. Mikatani ha'en chayavin chul. Mikatani ha'en chayavin. Hachigamar davar shechayavin al shkagato chatat, chayavin al zdono skila. Says no. You can't necessarily make that inference, right? What did we teach? We taught that if you were chayev a chatat for b'shogeg, then you're chayev skila b'zadon. Right? But that doesn't mean that if you're not chayev a chatat shogeg, then you're not chayev, that doesn't mean that if you're not chayev a chatat for shogeg that you're definitely also not chayev skila for zadon. No, just because if you are chayev chatat, you would be chayev skila for intentional, that doesn't mean that if you are not chayev chatat b'shogeg, then you won't be chayev skila for zadon. V'yesh davar she'ein chayev inal shkigato chatat v'chayev inal zadon skila, my nihu mechamer, right? So what is that thing that you could not be chayev for shogeg a chatat, but you would be chayev skila for doing it intentionally? So that's mechamer. Rava, achua de Rav Mari bar Rachel. So Rav was the brother of Rav Mari bar Rachel. V'amila avua de Rav Mari bar Rachel. Alternatively, maybe he's the father of Rav Mari bar Rachel, right? Agav, side point, lishna batra kasha had the Rav achshere le Rav Mari bar Rachel uminyane before say de Bavel, right? So it would be difficult to assume that Rava is actually the father of Rav Mari bar Rachel, because Rav had to give his like his stamp of approval on Mari bar Rachel in order to serve an important role in Bavel to say that he's properly Jewish. But if this was Rava's son, you shouldn't have no proof. You should have no problem proving that you're Jewish. Why do you need Rav's stamp of approval? Dilma trei Mari bar Rachel havu. No, maybe there's another Mari bar Rachel we're getting confused between. Okay, so back to what we were saying. Hava matni la lahashamata mishmei derav Yochanan liftor. So he taught everything that we said here about mechamer on Shabbat. That you're actually pater. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mechamer achar behemato b'Shabbat patur miklum. Right. So you're not allowed to be mechamer on Shabbat. You're not allowed to drive your donkey. But if you do, you're pater. B'shogeg lo mechayev chatat dehuk shal kol Torah kula avodazara. Right. So if you do a b'shogeg, you're not chayev chatat because of the connection between. Because the connection between doing things b'shogeg and avodah zarah, just like avodah zarah needs to be you yourself doing it, if you do anything, it needs to be you yourself doing it. B'mezid nami lo mechayev. Also, you'd intentionally, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're not going to be chayev. It's not a mechal at the Shabbat, but davar shechayev inal shkogato chatat v'azdon eskila. Ha'ein chayev inal shkogato chatat, ein chayev inal zdon eskila. Right? Because we have the general principle, and he holds by this version of the principle, that anything that you're chayev for a chatat, if you do it b'shogeg, you'd be chayev skila if you do it b'mezid. But here, you're not chayev shogeg, you're not chayev a chatat for doing it b'shogeg, so he must hold that you're not chayev skila for doing it b'mezid. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're literally potter from everything. Furthermore, you don't get lashes. The havale lav shenitan lazar mitad beitin, v'chol lav shenitan lazar mitad beitin, ain't lokin lav. Because the initial, the proper intended punishment here is going to be skila. Now, we don't say that if you can't get skila, you don't, if you don't say that if you can't get skila, then we're not even going to give you lashes, right? You have to have, the lashes needs to be the intended punishment. Here, the intended punishment is skila, so you can't get skila. Okay, so now you don't get anything, right? But you don't just get lashes by default. Okay, so according to the ones who say that you do get lashes, even if you want to say he gets lashes, right? So then I have the following question. The Torah should say, right? Don't do any malacha, also your animal. Ata lamali, why does it say lo tasek malacha ata uvimtecha, you and your animal, hu nihu demichayev b'mito lo mechayev, right? So it's to teach you that you yourself, with you yourself do the malacha, you're going to be chayev, but if your animal does the malacha, you're not going to be chayev. Higila chatzer chitzona. So back to the Mishnah, you reach the outer chatzer, amar ravuna, hayta b'mito tuhuna klei zechuchit, right? We spoke about lifting up the kelim you're allowed to lift up, and then untying the rest of the kelim so they fall, right? So if there were glass vessels, the glass vessels are going to break if you just let them fall. Maybe Karen Mikasto, Maniach Tachte, Matia Chavalin, Vesakin, Vesakin, Noflin. Right? So you should bring pillows and sheets. Put them underneath the donkey. That way, when you untie the ropes, the bag falls and the donkey doesn't break the glass. What do you mean? You can carry the glass vessels. They have use on Shabbat. Why would you just untie them and let them fall? Just carry them. These glass vessels used for bloodletting. They have no use on Shabbat. They're not fit for Shabbat. No, but then if they fall on the cushions, then you're being mevatel the cushions. You can't use the cushions anymore, right? You can't negate something's use in the middle of Shabbat, right? It's called Mevatel Kli Meichano. You're not allowed to do that. You're making it Muktza. Now, so we're talking about very small bundles of glass vessels, so that once it falls on the cushion, you can remove the cushion and the glass would roll on the ground and it wouldn't break. Meitve haita b'mato tehuna tevel v'ashashit mutar matiyat chavali masakin noflim. Right, so if the behema is filled with untithed produce or pieces of glass, so then you untie the strings and the sacks fall. V'achapi shemishtabrin, and even if it means the glass is going to break, hatam be kulsa. All right. So there, it's talking about chunks of glass, right? So they're already broken, right? That's why, seemingly, it should tell me that. Why do I have to break them here? Can't I bring cushions and let them fall into the cushions? Why would you tell me that I have to just let them go, even if they're going to break? Because these are small chunks of glass. We're not talking about glass vessels. Daikanami nikatani dumia de tevel, right? And you can be medaik even this fact within the Mishnah because it teaches it next to tevel, so it must be similar to tevel. There's a reason we're categorizing them together. Ma tevel de lo chazilei, afachanami de lo chazilei, right? Just like tevel can't be used for Shabbat because it's untied, then you can't tie that on Shabbat. So too, the glass that we're dealing with is unfit for Shabbat, so it must be chunks of glass that have no use for Shabbat. What do the Mishnah want to teach us when it says that even if they're going to break? Because you may have thought that even if these chunks of glass break any further, okay, it's still a loss, right? It's a small loss. You're not breaking a nice glass vessel, so maybe the Rabbanan would have said you should bring the cushion so you don't sustain any loss. But so we see from here is that the Rabbanan were not concerned with the small loss of breaking your chunks of glass. Tanya, we learned the Brayta Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer Haytabevatotuuna Shalif Shel Tevua Manich Rosho Tachtei Misalko Tzad Acher, who know from Elaf. Right, so we learn in a Tana Braita that if your animal had a bag of grain on one side of the body, so you can put his head down and kind of switch it over to the other side of his body and let it fall by itself. Right, so the donkey of Rabban Gamliel had honey on it, and he didn't want to take it off till after Shabbat. Motzei Shabbat meta, but then it happened that ad Motzei Shabbat, until it got Motzei Shabbat, the donkey ended up dying. But didn't we teach that you're allowed to take off the vessels that you're allowed to take off? But no, we're talking about rotten honey. The honey was rotted, and therefore. Therefore, it wasn't something that had used on Shabbat. He'd be shlemai chazi. Why would he be carrying rotten honey? Right? What's that fit for? Le chetita de gamle. Right. So rotten honey was typically used to heal the wounds of camels. V'yatir chavalim v'yiplu sakin. Right. But why didn't you just untie the ropes and let it fall? Right. Mitzdaru zike. Right. Well, we couldn't do that. We couldn't do that because then the things containing the honey would break. V'yavikarim kasto v'niach tachtehen. Right. Well, then why didn't you just bring pillows and pillows and sheets and put it under? Underneath it, so it wouldn't break. Because then they would become filthy, and then they would lose their function on Shabbat. You're not allowed to cause something to lose its function on Shabbat. But wait a second, aren't we concerned for the fact that the animal is suffering? He held the tzar b'alechayim is derabanan, right? Generally, we hold the tzar b'alechayim is deraita, but his shita was tzar b'alechayim is derabanan. So Abaye saw that Rabba was playing with his son by rubbing him against the side of a donkey. Amar la, kamashtamesh mar b'alechayim. Says, you're using a b'alechayim, you're using animals on Shabbat, you're not allowed to use animals on Shabbat. Amar la, it's tarin hen. It was tarin lo gazer b'rabbanan. No, I'm only using the side of the animal. The rabbanan never goes against using the side of the animal. Minatim ra, how do you know that? Why do you say that? Ditnan matir chavalim vasaki novlin. Because we thought that you're allowed to untie the ropes and have the sacks fall. My love, v'chevel gavolki, dehavu latz dari. Right? So when we talk that you're allowed to untie the sacks, right, aren't we talking about the type of ropes that are tied to the sides of the animal? So if you're untying the ropes and you're allowed to do that, then clearly you're allowed to use the sides of the animal. Lo be'evar golki delo havut starin inami belachta. No, we're talking about maybe a hook on the animal, a hook that was attached to the animal, and then the burden was on the hook, so you're not really using the side of the animal. Alternatively, it was hanging from a rope, but not actually tied down to the animal itself, right? So you can't bring me a proof from there. Right, but we can challenge that by suggesting the following. Right, we challenge this idea about using tzadim, using the sides of mukta things on Shabbat. Right, so if you have a sukkah made of two proper walls and then a third wall out of a tree, that's kosher. If you're not allowed to go into it on Yom Tov because you're using the side of the tree, my love. Right now, aren't we talking about when you kind of holler at a tree and put a beam in there? So the beam is attached to the, the beam in your sukkah is supported by the side of the tree, right? And so it's the side of the tree that you're using, and it says that it's aser, so you can't use the sides on Yom Tov. No, we're talking about when you bent over the tree and put the schach on top of it, so you're using the tree itself. They're using the tree itself as aser, but the side of the tree, that wouldn't be aser. But look at the seifa. That doesn't shver with the seifa. It doesn't work well. Because if you have three walls, proper walls and an additional wall with a tree, that's going to be kosher. If you use the tree itself, there's no way that would be kosher. For olin la b'yom tov, or you let it go in on yom tov, but if you use the tree itself, there's no way it's going to be kosher. V'idei chayfei le'ilan amai olin la b'yom tov. If you use the tree itself, how could you go in on yom tov? Ve'elamai tzarin asurin. Sof amai olin la b'yom tov. Right, but what are you trying to prove from here? You're trying to prove that tzarin are asur. Why would you let to be go? Why would you let to then go in on yom tov? Elahatam be'gavaza par. Right, so what we're talking about here is where the branches are spread out, and the tree itself was being used as a wall. So the tree itself was a wall. Right, and we can this from the mission as well. That we're talking about a case where the tree itself was being used as a wall. Zeklal kol she ilu yinatel ha'ilan v'yechol lamod olin la b'yom tov shemamina. Right, so because we taught that this is a general rule. If the tree would be moved and the sukkah would stand on itself, right, you're allowed to go into the yom tov. But if the tree is going to be moved and the sukkah is then not going to exist, that's when you're not allowed to go in. Lema katanai. But let's suggest that this follows that this argument about tzadin follows the following Tanakh dispute. Ain olin la b'yom tov, right? Rabbi Shum ben Elazar omer mishum Rabbi Meir olin la b'yom tov, right? Whether you're allowed to enter into this sukkah on yom tov or not, my love b'hakam ifligid the marasavis tzadin nasir the marasavis mutarin, right? So can you suggest that the one who says that you're not allowed to go in on yom tov says using the sides of the tree would be asur, but the one who says you are allowed to go in says using the sides of the tree is going to be mutar? Amar b'ayelo dechule alma tzadin nasirin. So the b'ayel says no, everyone agrees that tzadin are asur, that you can't use the sides of most of things. On Shabbat, right, where they're arguing is about the sides, meaning things attached to the sides of muktzah things. The one who says that you're not allowed to go in on Shabbat says that the sides of things are asur. The one who says you are allowed to go in says the sides of things are going to be mutar. Rava Amar, manda asur b'tzadin, asur nami b'tzidatzadin. And according to Rava, says no, there's no distinction here. The one who says that the sides are asur also says that the sides are asur. Manda shari b'tzidatzadin, shari nami b'tzidatzadin. Right, the one who holds that the sides are not asur, or one who holds that the sides are not usher also holds that the sides themselves are not usher. Etive Rav Misharshi Elo Rava. So Rav Misharshi asked Rava, not yated be ilan v'talab akalkala. If you drove a stake into a tree and then you put a basket on top of it. If the basket was higher than 10 tvachim, ein iruvu eruv. Right? What are you putting in the basket? You're putting food that is shared food by everyone in your chatzer. And if you want to create a common space for everyone whose doors open up to the chatzer, you have food owned by everyone that is put in a place that everyone can access, right? But if you put it in a place above 10 tvachim high, we say it's not an eruv, right? Because it's not officially in the domain that's owned by everyone. Lamata masar tvachim eruv. But if you put it underneath 10 tvachim, then it's in the domain that's owned by everyone, and that's a proper eruv. Tama denat zitzeh be'ilan, right? The only reason is because you drove a stake into the tree first. Ha lo natz. But if you didn't drive a stake into the tree, afil lamata masar tvachim en eruv eruv. Right, then we can conclude that even underneath 10 tvachim is not going to be an eruv. Why? Because it must be the side of the tree is going to be usher to use. And if it's usher to use the side of the tree, then it's not an eruv because no one has access to it on Shabbat. V'ha hai tana dekasher b'tzadin v'kasher b'tzadin. Right, but that would seem to be a tana who holds that the side of the tree would be usher to use, but the side of the tree would be mutter to use, which is a challenge to the shita that says that the one who holds the side is usher says that the side is usher, and the one who holds the side is mutter holds the side of the side. So Rav Papa says, no. Here's the case here. It's not a good proof. Right, we were talking about a basket with a very narrow end, right? And if you took the food out, it would shake the tree. And then you're using the actual tree itself. So it's not that someone is saying it's utzer because you're using the side of the tree. No, you're actually using the tree itself. But once you're using the side, then it's fine. Right? As far as the halacha goes, we hold that using the side of muktzah things is usher, but using the side of muktzah things is going to be mutter. Amar Ravashi, Hashad Amrin Nitzadin Asurin, Ha Darga de Medalia, Lo Linche Inish Dikla, the Havulut Stadin. Says now that we know that the sides of things are going to be usher, this ladder that people generally used and they would put it up against a palm tree, you shouldn't put it up against a palm tree because then you're using the side of a tree that's going to be usher. Ela Linche Gavuze Levar Medikla. Rather, you should lean it up against pegs that come out of the palm tree, right? And when you're climbing it, you shouldn't put your legs down on those pegs that are coming out of the tree that the ladder is resting upon, rather only on the rungs of the ladder, so that you don't use the sides of the tree, only the ladder itself. We'll stop here.